I'm going to pray as we begin. Lord, there are days when it seems that you are far and distant. And Lord, where we long for that thick, holy presence of you that was experienced in the temple. So Lord, help us today recognize you right here, right now, in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill each one of us with your glorious presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So Rex Hupsky, he tells a story of a cardboard cutout of Dave. He says 24-year-old Dave, he took a job in Chicago, and he had to leave his close-knit family back in Moline. And so family gatherings just weren't the same without Dave. So his mother took a photo of him, she blew it up life size, and then she pasted it onto a cardboard cutout, a box that was the neighbor's new stove. So there's Dave standing casually with his hands in his pockets, blue button-down shirt hanging untucked over his khaki shorts, and they call him Flat Dave. So there's Dave, and then there's Flat Dave. Flat Dave just shows up and stands quietly at the family gatherings. His brother commented that he thought Flat Dave actually is better looking. Sometimes things get awkward, though, for real Dave, the one that the family now calls Thick Dave. He says, I'm in Chicago talking to my mom on the phone, and she says, hold on, I've got to get you loaded into the van. He says, it's a little weird. Thick Dave is not in the thick of things. If you and I are in the thick of things, then we're involved in it, right? We're engaged in something and engaged in the outcome. And so right now, you are in the thick of it if you are farming and there's still corn in the field, right? You are in the thick of it. Or if you're running up and down on the gym floor these last few weeks getting ready for a winter sport, then you're in what? You're in the thick of it, right? Or if you're packing boxes back here this morning for Samaritan's Purse and you get back there and all that, you are going to be in the thick of it. So being in the thick of it, it can get pretty intense at times. Even when it's tough, however, we're all in. It's real, right? We're in it. But there are other times when we might feel like Flat Dave. We might feel like a cardboard cutout standing in the corner. Because somehow it feels like we're always missing out on all the good stuff that's happening around us. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. I think we all feel that way sometimes. We all feel like we're being left out, we're missing out. And we feel like we're being replaced by this cardboard cutout of ourselves who's stuck in the background. So we all can feel like we're missing out. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like you're just present, but you're just not in the thick of it. You're just not there. We feel like we're missing out, or even worse, that we're just going through the motions. You know, that can happen as followers of Jesus. We can feel like at times, like we're just going through the motions. We could maybe have had a really strong faith, and even for years, be walking with the Lord, and then somewhere along the line, we just feel like we've become this cut out cardboard version of a Jesus follower. Or maybe you've never felt like you're in the thick of it. You hear about people that experience God in these marvelous ways and you're just going along wondering, I don't get it. It's just not my experience. So I don't know where you are today with your walk with Jesus. I hope that you're in a vibrant walk and a growing faith and you're enjoying being in the thick of that with Jesus. And if you are, then I want to invite you along on this journey because I feel like I believe that this is going to help us stay in the thick of it with Jesus. But if you're not, then I'm inviting you to come along anyway today. Come along because we're going to journey through with Solomon as he walks in the thick presence of God and engage his encountering of the Lord's glory. And here's why I think it's really important for us. This is what I've discovered. It's just religion until we're in the presence of God. It's just religion until we're in the presence of God. And then everything changes. So the Apostle Paul, he warns young Timothy in his letter. Timothy's his young protege. He's raising him up in the faith. And he says this Jesus journey is all about the power of God. He says without God's presence, forget it. It's just a form of religion. It doesn't matter. He says they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. He says stay away from people like that. So I believe that you and I, we can't waste our time on a religious experience of God. There's no point. None at all. I tried that. I rejected it 25 years ago. We each need a real experience of God's power. We all need to be in the thick of God's presence. Or we're never going to be all in. We're never going to be the follower that Jesus calls us to be. So there's a phrase up here. When you look at that, what do you see? How do you read that? There's two ways to read it, really. One, God is nowhere, right? God is nowhere. There's another way as well. Do you see the other way? God is now here. God is now here. So the powerful presence of God, it distinguishes that real from religion. God is now here. Do you know God's presence in this way? So Solomon, he was in this real presence of God at the temple, as we read this morning. It says he worshiped and prayed, and then at that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And so for Solomon, it was really just religion until this moment when God showed up in his thick glory. See, it's just religion until we're in the presence of God. So what has your faith experience been so far? Is it real or is it religion? So Jesus seems to be making this point with the crowds who are gathering around him. They're following him as he's teaching. And he says there are real consequences if it's not real. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And when I read that, I think, whoa, right? This is some pretty crazy stuff. It's startling because these people are doing all kinds of amazing spiritual stuff. They're doing miracles. And Jesus is saying, it's not real. Just religion until we're in the presence of God. So what makes it real? So as we follow Solomon's journey, he finds himself in the thick of God's presence. And so what makes it real for Solomon? The last 2 weeks we've been reading in the Bible Immerse series. And we encourage you to, if you haven't yet, pick up a Bible on the table back there and read through with us as we go. We're in the Chronicles volume. And we've been following Solomon's dad, who is King David. God chose him and blessed him, and he has become the king over all of Israel. And though David wants to build a temple, God says to him, no. Last week we learned that. When God says no, God intended for the temple to be built by a man of peace, and that would be his son Solomon, because the presence of the Lord would be in the temple. And so as we read week 3, you're going to discover that Solomon goes ahead and does this. He builds this magnificent temple to house the presence of God. And it's a crazy huge building. If you want to talk about a lavish building project, go ahead and read in Chronicles as we find out how Solomon's building this temple. He uses over 150,000 people to be laborers and construction workers and quarry people. That's a lot of people. Now, the temple is 90 feet long, it's 30 feet wide and 30 feet high, and in that, seems actually kind of small, today's standards, but in that there's 23 tons of gold. Could you imagine? 23 tons of gold. Even the nails are made out of gold. There's two figures in there, they call them cherubim, they're overlaid with gold, they stand over the Ark of the Covenant, and their wingspan is 30 feet across. And there's a sacrifice basin for washing the sacrifices. It's called the sea. It holds 16,500 gallons of water, right? That's more like a swimming pool. That'd be a huge hot tub, wouldn't it? So that would, that when it's all done, Solomon brings the Ark of the Covenant into the most holy place, and then he begins to sacrifice sheep and cattle and goats. And there's a place in the scripture that says they sacrificed so many that they couldn't even keep count of them. Thousands and tens of thousands. And then there's 120 priests playing trumpets and praising God. So how would you think of that, Cheryl? 120 musicians praising God. It's incredible. You know, it's magnificent when you think about what is happening here. It's glorious. It's amazing human an accomplishment. It's a great celebration, but it's just a temple of stone. It's just a building, an amazing building, but that's all it is, just a building. It's just a shell. It's just religion until God shows up. And it's all leading up to this anticipated presence of God. So we knew God's presence. They knew when God's presence showed up because God revealed himself. Solomon said that, "O Lord, you have said that you would live in a thick cloud of darkness." So this thick cloud is full of God's presence, and God reveals himself to Moses long ago in this way, saying, "I'll personally go with you." So it's the same rumbling, thick cloud that led the Israelites through the desert, that was with Moses in the tent of meeting, that was on Mount Sinai when God gave the commands. God's presence was experienced by his people in this thick cloud of God. And it's the same real experience now that Solomon experiences as he finishes the temple. It says, "At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not continue their service because the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord, filled the temple." So how do we experience that? How do we experience that thick presence of God today, that glorious presence filling the temple? Well, I'm pretty sure that the smoke machine didn't do it for you. Is that right? I mean, it was kind of cool. It was kind of neat to imagine, but pretty sure that that wasn't enough to make you experience the thick, powerful presence of God. So the Bible, it does reveal three ways for us to get into that thick presence of God. And the first way is by following Jesus. So it's just religion until we follow Jesus. So maybe you're a little skeptical. Solomon seems to invite that kind of question. As he's praying to God, he says, "But will God really live on earth among people? You know, can we really experience God's presence as a follower of Jesus? Like in this real and tangible way?" It says, "Will God really live among his people? Why, even the highest heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built." You know, is God really going to live with us? And the answer is, he did. He did come and live with us in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, at his baptism, Jesus experiences the Holy Spirit coming upon him. The Bible says, like a dove coming down, and a voice says, "This is my son whom I love." You know, it's not that thick cloud of smoke experienced in the Old Testament, but now instead it's God in the flesh of a man named Jesus. In Jesus, God is present. That's completely unexpected. Jesus says, "I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple." Jesus is speaking about himself. And when the glorious presence of God comes, he's present in Jesus in a new way. So it's just religion until we are in the presence of Jesus. The question for us right now is, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Yeah, I'm hearing all around these days that somehow Jesus is here. You know, the men's group, it meets on Saturday morning, and they've been inviting people to come and be prayed over for various reasons. And I've been able to be part of a couple of those experiences, and it's amazing what happens as these men gather in the name of Jesus and begin to pray over one another and pray over others. People talk about experiencing the presence of God, experiencing the grace and love and care and compassion of Jesus right there in that moment. Have you ever experienced that? that powerful presence of Jesus as someone lays a hand on you and prays in his name? That's real. That's real. So God is present with us as we follow Jesus. You know, John the Baptist, he was wondering if Jesus was the guy. You know, is this the one we've been waiting for? Is this the Messiah? And Jesus told the men that John had sent, he says, go back and tell John what you see and hear. Just recently, I talked with someone who told me, Pastor Tim, I have my life back. They were talking about the healing, powerful presence of Jesus giving back life. It's real. So here's what we need to know about being in the thick presence of Jesus. You're not a cardboard cutout stuck in the corner on a religious journey. The presence and power of Jesus is right here, right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you keep my commands, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. That's religion, right? Not knowing that powerful presence of Jesus, just going through the motions, that's religion. But you know him, for he lives with you and is in you. That's real. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Real and now, the powerful presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit in us. So is your walk with Jesus real or is it religion? Do you know that experience of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your life, speaking with you, calling you, talking with you, filling you with his love and grace? See, it's just religion until we follow Jesus, and it's just religion until we trust Jesus. At 25, I was a hard-hearted, stubborn young man. I was done with religion. I wasn't convinced about Jesus. I certainly didn't trust him. And I definitely did not know the power of God's presence. Then all at once, I did. That's the only way I can explain it. I did not, and then I did. In the Bible, there's three Jesus followers who have that same kind of experience. It's James and Peter and John. They're up on the mountainside with Jesus, and all at once before their eyes, Jesus is changed. They somehow see this glorious, powerful presence of God in the person of Jesus. You know, the Bible talks about it as the transfiguration of Jesus. It just simply means that the glory of God was revealed in Jesus as he was standing there, that thick presence of God. God's self was visible. This is what they experienced. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. You know, my best words are, I experienced something like that. Not that I'm an apostle or something, but I experienced God's presence. I had an encounter that killed my religion and made Jesus real. So that night I made a decision to follow Jesus, and I experienced God, and nothing has been the same ever since. For me, I know God is real. Do you know that real, powerful presence of God? So if you want to experience the presence of God beyond that religious experience, then we need to trust Jesus. There's no other way. A radical, deep trust in Jesus. You know, Solomon wasn't sure that God could live in the temple that he built. It's God after all. And yet he still takes this bold step of faith and prays. He says, nevertheless, listen to my prayer and my plea, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is making. Maybe you're at one of those nevertheless moments today. Nevertheless, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to call out. I'm going to trust Jesus today. King David, he said that he would not give an offering to God unless it cost him something. Unless we risk, unless we sacrifice, unless we draw near to God, we won't experience his presence. It's going to cost something. If it doesn't cost, it's just religion. If it's real, it's worth everything. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to have their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. So it's just religion until we follow Jesus. It's just religion until we trust Jesus. It's just religion until we depend on Jesus. Why are you feeling like a flat cardboard cutout of Dave? Stuck in a corner somewhere. What hopes and dreams do you deeply desire that you know cannot be achieved apart from that powerful experience of God, unless God does it? Maybe it's a relationship that's broken beyond repair, and yet you still hold out hope that God can do something. Or an addiction that's attached to you and you can't seem to shake it no matter what you try, but you still hold out hope that God can give you the victory. Or fear that keeps coming back and causing anxiety, and you trust that even though it doesn't seem like it, you know, you hold out hope that God can give you peace. Or a health scare that you hope for healing. You hold out that God can change things. An impossible situation, but you still have a vision for God's power to overcome it. It's just religion. Until we absolutely depend on the presence of God. You know, the Lord spoke to Solomon one night after all of this glorious presence of God in the temple. And God shared to him what to do when religion overtakes a real relationship with Jesus. What do you do when you find yourself there? God told him, here's how you get back to what's real. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. If we follow Jesus, if we trust Jesus, if we depend on Jesus once more, God says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. God says, I will show up. I will show up. How do we find that real, powerful presence of Jesus? How do we experience the glorious presence that Solomon did in the temple? We turn back. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And be ready. When we depend on the powerful presence of God, when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, Jesus says, I will come. Everyone who asks, all who seek, all who knock, will find the glorious presence of God. All who call on the name of the Lord will find themselves in the thick, powerful presence of God. Jesus said, I will be with you always. I will be with you. That's our hope. That's our trust. That's real. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are with us today, that your Holy Spirit is present with us. And Lord, I pray that if there's any of us here, all of us here, Lord, who maybe experience those times when we're just feeling like a cardboard cutout, that we don't know your powerful presence. We just don't experience you in a way that is real. Lord, I pray right now that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit in a fresh, new anointing. Lord, that you'll pour out your Spirit on us. Lord, we're hungry for you. We know, Lord, all the things that we pursue as your followers and as your people are impossible apart from you. But with you, all things are possible. And so, Jesus, we're dependent on you. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out your power and presence in our lives. Make yourself known in us. Make Jesus' love real to us. And Lord, as we call out for your Holy Spirit, we know it all begins by trusting in you. And so, Jesus, we come again today and say, Jesus, I believe. I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me. Jesus, I want to follow you. Fill me with your Spirit that I may be your light in the world. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.